You know what time it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's another edition of Fit Talk Radio with your hosts, Maria and Jim Wells. Brought to you by Destiny Fitness, It Nicks, Leonardsville Fitness, Valdosta Bike Store, Crunch Fitness, and Anytime Fitness Tipton Douglas. Now, here's Maria and Jim on News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Hello and welcome to Fit Talk. I'm Maria.
And I'm Jim.
And Jim, great to be back in the studio today.
That's right, Maria.
And kind of an interesting subject here tonight, but you know, I think it's very relevant. This is October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it's also Depression Awareness Month.
Correct.
And you and I have both been on the fringes of that occasionally in our life.
I suspect a lot of people have.
You know, I think so, and, you know, for different reasons. I remember the doctors telling me once upon a time, many, many years ago, as I went through some things, that mine was, they called it situational depression. Now, and you know, I'm no doctor, but I thought, well, and it was just based on the situation that I was in at the time. That's kind of what I got from it.
Right, and, you know, this is more than just, you know, feeling down for, you know, a day or two or three or four. You
right.
know, this is a specific problem, and it's prolonged, and you just feel hopeless. You feel helpless, and there's no way out of this situation, and it starts to affect you in a number of ways, a number of negative ways.
Well, you know, I mean, things happened. I asked you earlier, I said, you know, you've been depressed before, Jim. And you said, yeah, definitely. I remember two times in my life, you know, and, you know, I kind of got depressed when I got sick and had, you know, sick with my brain injury and all that stuff, Jim, you know, because I wasn't able to get out and do, you know, my body has to move and do things. That makes me feel better. But, you know, you and I aren't the experts here tonight. We've got an expert here with us tonight, and we're so excited about having her join us. We're going to bring her over here in the hot seat in just a moment. But before we get into all that, let's say hello to Charlie Mizell. How are you doing? How's your lovely wife doing, Charlie? Thank you for joining us tonight on Facebook Live. We've got a lot going on. I'm going to have a caller call in, Miss Wendy Jones, a great girl that we just recently met down
yes.
in Orange Park, Florida, at a grand opening for Six Pack Supplements. Of course, they were one of our title sponsors for NPC Night of the Gladiators. And we went down to support them with their big grand opening. And Dexter Jackson, we met 2004, Mr. Olympia, Dexter Jackson.
Yes, he won the Mr. Olympia. He's won the Mr. Olympia Masters, and he's also won the Arnold Classic, I want to say, five times.
And he's also Mr. Olympia Masters?
Yeah.
He's done a lot. And, of course, he has a big show down there in Jacksonville, Florida, big NPC show, the Dexter Jackson show, which we've attended on several occasions. What a great fellow he was. He was so nice to meet.
It was nice to meet him and several other people. You know, we just,
right.
it turned out to be a really good day. We met a lot of nice people, a lot of good people, and a lot of people that shared our enthusiasm for health and fitness.
Absolutely. And it just always works out. God always brings the people that we need at the right time, doesn't it? And we
right.
need him. And he did that today in bringing our next guest in here. But we have some big news before we get to commercial break.
That's right.
We have the date for our new NPC show in 2024, and it is August the 24th, 2024.
All right. Do it now. Save that date.
NPC Night of the Gladiators. Save the date. August the 24th, 2024, and it is again at the UGA Conference Center in Tifton, Georgia. So go ahead and put it on your books. If you're thinking about competing, start thinking about it, start training. You've got how many months, Jim?
Well, about 10.
About 10 months to get ready for this show. So Jim and I are looking forward to that, and we hope that you will join us. We're going to take a commercial break. Then we're going to be right back with our guest. And we're so happy that she has joined us here today to be the expert on this very, very sensitive but relevant subject of depression. What is depression? How did we get it? How can we get out of it? And there's help for those who need it. Right here in Valdosta, Georgia, Jim.
Important topic.
Important topic. So stay tuned right here. This is 105.9 WVGA Fit Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jessica Johnson, president of Destiny Fitness. As the end of the year approaches, it is time to dial it in and keep those holiday pounds at bay. Destiny Fitness is your destination for health and fitness. With 24-hour access, amazing customer service, and the cleanest gyms across Central Georgia, we are here to serve you. Don't know what to do? With group fitness classes and personal trainers, we have the best professionals with the knowledge to set you up with a plan for success. We also carry a wide range of supplements to help speed up your recovery and get the results that you are looking for in no time. Join us at our 11 clubs across Central Georgia, including Cochran, Columbus, Cordele, Eastman, Fitzgerald, Fort Valley, Macon, Moultrie, Perry, Sylvester, and Tifton for only $24.95 a month. We also offer military, police, and student discounts. Come by and let our friendly staff give you a tour and set up your membership today. At Destiny Fitness, your goals are just as important to us as they are to you. Now it's time to take this journey and achieve those goals together.
This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate Wintersville Fitness at 1711 Norman Drive in Valdosta. Melissa is an Army veteran and served in Desert Storm. I retired from the Air Force after numerous deployments. We both served our country honorably, and we continue to serve the members of Wintersville Fitness with loyalty and integrity. We are committed to making this community a better place. We keep our money local, and we support a variety of local charities so we can help build a better community for everyone. So stop by at 1711 Norman Drive and see why we were voted the best fitness center in South Georgia 2020. This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I are the new owners of Valdosta Bike Center and More, located at 1907 Baytree Place in Remerton. We are an authorized Trek dealer, but we also service and repair all types of bicycles. We recently started a pickup and delivery service for a small additional fee. We will pick up your bicycles, service or repair them, and drop them back off, so you don't have to worry about cramming them into the back of your car. We're excited to serve the bicycle community, and we hope that you will stop by and see what we have to offer. Please like and follow us on Facebook to keep up with the additional services we plan to offer.
If you're looking for a comprehensive health and wellness clinic in Valdosta, Georgia, look no further than Valdosta Health and Wellness Clinic. We offer a wide range of services to help you achieve your optimal health, including women's health, men's health, mammography, weight loss, laser therapy, and more. Our experienced team will work with you to create a personalized plan that fits your unique needs. We're here to help you feel your best so you can live your best life. Valdosta Health and Wellness Clinic, 3328 Bemis Road in Valdosta, or give them a call today at 229-469.
This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate FitMix Group Fitness and Personal Training. We have 7 certified personal trainers with varying specialties to make sure you reach your goals. Sports training, military standards, flexibility, mobility, and everything in between. FitMix is a veteran-owned facility located at 3323 Bemis Road, Suite E, and we are the little sister gym to Wintersville Fitness. Contact my wife Melissa for more information at 229-305-6465 or email her at morethanfit@gmail.com. Get more than fit with FitMix.
Now, let's get back to more Fit Talk with Maria and Jim on News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Hello and welcome to Fit Talk. I'm Maria.
And I'm Jim.
And hello, Hayward Fowler. Thank you for joining us tonight. Hayward, you might know a lot about this depression thing. You might have gone through it yourself. You or some members of your family. But we are really, really excited. We have an expert here with us tonight. She's a psychiatric nurse practitioner, Miss Doreen Webb. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks. And thanks for having
Doreen.
Me. Doreen.
Doreen. Doreen. I knew I was going to mess that up. Doreen. Jim said it correctly in the car, but I'll get it right. But anyway, so you deal with adult mental illnesses.
Yes. And addiction.
And addiction.
Yes.
Where are you at?
Turning Point Hospital in Moultrie, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your background and what makes you the expert.
Well, since 1993, I've been working with psychiatric mental health patients. I worked at Greenleaf Center for 16 years. And then I went to, that was inpatient, and that was mental health, addiction, child mental health issues as well. And then I moved to behavioral health in Valdosta, which is outpatient. And so I did that for several years. I worked at VSU for a little bit with the students. And then I've been at Turning Point for 10 years. So I've been doing this for about 30 years.
Wow. Yeah, so. Wow. Well, you know, tell us how this happens to people. Why and how do they get depressed?
Well, it's like you said, There's two types of depression. There's clinical depression, which is where the receptors aren't making enough serotonin, so people don't have that feel-good chemical, and they just feel down, depressed, kind of hopeless, like Jim was saying, and helpless. Even if their world was going great, they still wouldn't feel well. They would still have lack of energy, lack of motivation. They would not want to bathe. They would either eat too much or eat too little. So there's different criteria for depression, but some of it is too much sleep, too little sleep, too much eating, too little eating, not socializing, not answering the phone, not wanting to get dressed and go out with friends, just having no motivation to live, to be in life. And so that's a clinical depression, and that's where there's not enough serotonin and other chemicals that help your brain feel stable. And then there's situational depression, like you talked about, mm-hmm. where if you're in a certain situation, say someone passed away that's close to you, maybe a miscarriage, I deal with some of that. Sometimes people, a big move, a loss of a job, a family stressing about their children, even the stuff that kids go through now with bullying and things like that. Those are situational types of depression. That isn't so much a chemical imbalance where medications are really recommended, but more therapy would be recommended for situational depression, because you kind of have to get your head straight with what's going on in my life and how do I cope.
Right, yep. Right.
And have a good network of support.
And I think that's important right there, mm-hmm.
that, you know, to have a network of support. Mm-hmm. Janet Sumner, thank you for joining us. I know, Janet, you have, you know, this might be something that touches you. Ron Heath, thank you for joining us, Ron. We appreciate that today. You know, I think depression touches everyone, mm-hmm. in all walks of life.
It does.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's no respecter of persons.
At some time or another. And then some people are just, it can be hereditary, familial, where that's why when we're doing our history of new clients, we ask, has anyone in your family ever suffered from depression? Because sometimes we just don't make enough. Some people, some family members just don't make enough serotonin, and they just never feel okay. You know, the children's story, Winnie the Pooh. So Eeyore, the donkey, he was blue, and he was always sad,
right.
He was always and not
sad.
Motivated.
Right.
So when you look at that storyline, there's a lot of mental health in the little characters.
Wow.
And so Eeyore was the one, and I guess your listeners would probably relate to this if they remember the story. He was always just, nothing made him happy. He was just always talking slow, walking slow, thinking slow. Like everything was just, you know. And little Eeyore, the blue donkey, he was blue. He was sad. He was depressed.
And Piglet was just running everywhere.
Yeah,
jumping
yeah.
up and down.
He was a little ADD.
I would be the Piglet in that
Tigger,
story.
Tigger.
I would be the Tigger or a Piglet in that story.
Sounds like they all needed therapy.
A Winnie the Pooh characters line up for you. Y'all need help.
You're probably going to get some comments on that.
But that's fine. I mean, that's what it's – Fit Talk is all about fitness.
Yeah.
All walks of fitness. But, you know, Jim and I have found in dealing with people, you know, we find people that are depressed, mm-hmm. whether they're, you know, at our work situation or in our family situation, mm-hmm. or our children's situation, mm-hmm. or, you know, and, you know, you need to find them the right help, and they mm-hmm. definitely need to get on the right kinds of medications.
Mm-hmm. If medicine is what's needed, yeah. I've always told my patients, medication helps 30% of the time, and therapy, exercise, that helps 70% of the time. So if you can get in and have that good support network, get a good therapist, or, you know, I don't always say talk to your friends, because sometimes they open up issues that, and all of a sudden they're like, oops, 5 o'clock, I got to go get dinner. And you got all this stuff you've just unpacked with them, and you got to get it all back in the box. You know, you can't do that. But with a therapist, you can. And with exercise, that's kind of a natural healing of the brain. It increases the dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, and endogenous chemicals, which is what makes us feel good. And then there's certain foods that you guys probably promote in your line of work.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or protein food, and things like
right.
that. Yeah.
Proteins.
That increases serotonin too.
Beth Connell, thank you for joining us. I know Beth is in the medical field, or maybe I think she just retired, but anyway, she's a nurse, and okay. So she's probably listening to this today. But, you know, I've always heard people say, and mother used to just say, I'm blue, or uh-huh. I feel like I'm in a dark hole,
yep.
I'm trying mm-hmm. to crawl out of a dark hole, mm-hmm. you know. And I find that this happens and Jim, don't laugh over there, to women as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can happen to men too, but I mean, as we get older, our situation, our life can become more stressful. When people retire and they all of a sudden don't have a productivity, they don't have a goal, they can get depressed. You know, staying active, staying in socializing. When people retire, they are all of a sudden they're not around their people anymore.
Right.
You know, they get home and they isolate. They start running how they're going to do their schedule, and it doesn't always work. They're not getting up on time. They're not bathing every day because, you know, you have to do that when you're social.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes the depression can set in.
Ms. Webb, let's touch on that a minute. Jim. Okay. And I and myself, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of had that happen to me
mm-hmm.
after my brain surgery, and you know, I retired. I started drawing Social Security at 62, and I thought that was going to be the end all be all, and it wasn't, was it, Jim?
It was not.
It was not for me.
That's what happens to people. They think it's going to be the best time, and a lot of times their whole world flips, and all of a sudden they lose their progress and. They're like, what now? What?
You know, our children are grown mm-hmm. and gone. Our grandchildren, you know, are doing their own thing. You know, and I found myself, you know, lost. I didn't feel productive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I didn't realize that until I started trying to do some things again. Mm-hmm. And now that I've started back to work this year, now that I've started training clients again, I feel the best that I have felt. Mm-hmm. In a long, long time.
Socialization is huge, huge. And that's what one of the things when you asked me to come and speak, I was, you know, just kind of reviewing some stuff about exercise and how it relates to depression, how it can improve depression, depressive moods. The part of exercise that gets you around people, you can do it in your own home.
Sure.
You can do it in your neighborhood with a friend. You can do it by yourself, walking and whatnot. But when you're in a program with someone who's training you or with other clients in a gym situation, you're socializing. Even if you're not out there shaking people's hands and talking,
right.
You're still out there with people. And we're human. Humans need people. We're social creatures. So that can improve your mood, if nothing else. Isolating increases depression.
Well, I had a client. I've trained people all over the South Georgia, 45 plus years I've been in this industry. And I had a client, and he's in his 90s, and he's in Thomasville, mm-hmm. and he's still alive. God bless him. Mr. Farmer, Jim, you know Mr. Farmer.
Oh, yes.
Think of the world of him. He works out at Factor X Fitness. Hal Jackson owns that gym over there, and he used to own Factor X Fitness here in Tifton that is now Wintersville. And Mr. Farmer goes to the gym 3 mornings a week,
okay,
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I mean, he comes in a walker.
Oh.
To the gym,
mm-hmm.
and he works out, and I trained him. I trained him for years, and I said, Mr. Farmer, you know, don't you want me to come to your house and train you, mm-hmm. and you know, so you won't have to get. He said, no, I need to get out. This is my social life. Mm-hmm. Coming to the gym,
mm-hmm. yep.
And he was dead serious mm-hmm. about that.
It's
and
important.
That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He gets in his. He said, I like it because I have somewhere to go on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. And then he said, after this, then I go meet my friends for lunch. And they had their little lunch group.
He's got it figured out.
So yep. And he's in his 90s mm-hmm. and still doing
it's
well.
It's important.
And living by himself and still driving. So, you know.
Exercise also increases your cognitive ability.
Yes.
So your brain function. So it improves that as well.
But, you know, he's got a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Know,
certain mm-hmm. days he needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people to hold him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his trainer expects him to be there. His friends expect him to show up for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on days that you don't have something specifically scheduled, it's too easy mm-hmm. sometimes just to sit around and do nothing.
And let it slide.
And if you do that day mm-hmm. after day after day, I mean, that in itself, I think, could get somebody in a rut.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you let your schedule slide, you had asked me earlier what I do with my work. I do mental health treatment for dual diagnosis patients. So the other part of my practice is addiction. And so one of the major things in keeping someone on their program, and you could relate this to exercise program, is scheduling things and sticking to it, you know, being motivated for what I, for what my patients do is sobriety, but for you, it'd be motivated for their mental health and their body health, you mm-hmm. know, their body-mind connection. And if you, it's like Jim was saying, you got to get up, you know, every right. day. Sticking to a schedule is very, very important. If you let things slide, that's where you just start noticing, well, I just don't want to go in today either.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow. And or you just, you make excuses. And then you start feeling more depressed. And you, it's like, you people can wonder, well, how did it start? It started when you kind of got off schedule.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I've noticed for me personally, I know Jim has noticed it. I need somewhere to go every day.
Mm-hmm.
And this little, you know, I say this little job is, you know, part-time, and I'm teaching girls weightlifting at Tifton Area Academy. But it makes me have that schedule mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and even though I have had a couple of clients that I was training, that's not as regular. You know, most of the time they are, but, you know, I can change it. Mm-hmm. But I can't change that school schedule. Mm-hmm. I have to be there. Those girls.
Well, I don't know what the age is that you're working with, but also the young that being around young people mm-hmm. is also very motivating and stimulating, and just having good energy, people with good
right.
energy around mm-hmm. you is also uplifting and can help with depressed moods with people. So staying around positive people, people who give good affirmations and encourage and,
right.
you know, check on you and,
right.
you know, pull you out of that funk and say, you know, I know you don't feel like it, but guess what? I'm coming over anyway. And you better have your tennis shoes on because we're going for a walk.
We're going for a walk. We're going yeah. for a walk. We're going to get that body moving. Janet Eldridge, good to see you online. Gloria Beasley, also from the medical community. Gloria's a friend of mine. We graduated together. She's a nurse. What are some signs? Now, I know what happened to me, and Jim knows what happened, but what are some signs, some common signs of depression? You know, what should I look for or your friends look for or your family look for?
Well, if it's the person themselves, they're going to have good self-awareness, and they're going to have to acknowledge and then want to seek treatment. But typically, if it's happening to that person, they want to see, is their sleep schedule changing? Are they not sleeping as much, or are they sleeping too much? When they're sleeping too much, that's a sign of depression. If they're not sleeping enough, that's racing thoughts, and that can also be depression. Are they overeating? Are they binge eating? Mm. That's depression. And some of that, I could digress easily on this topic, but some of the overeating stuff that some of your listeners might be kind of struggling with or dealing with or have had in their lives is when they're eating high-carb meals. You and I talked mm-hmm. about this earlier
right.
today. It increases serotonin surge. So when they're having that surge, they feel good. And they go, oh, I feel good when I eat ice cream. And they just keep eating it. And then after a while, stop looking at Jim.
Yeah.
And then after a while,
he's eating ice cream every night. Maybe he's still cutting
every night.
He's telling
me. Oh, my goodness.
Every night you eat ice cream.
Like
well, it feels good to the
twice a week.
Okay. Well, it feels, just eat the good kind. It feels
he
good
does.
In the brain.
Hey,
and
I
then.
I put cherries and bananas on it and call it a fruit salad.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, you're, fruit. You could say that's fruit and a dairy product. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. So, but anyway, yeah. So, the. So internally, if they're being honest with themselves, they need to look at their sleep cycle. They need to look at how they feel. If any of them are having ruminations or worry and thoughts of, you know what, I just might be better off not living here on this planet. Or what if I went to bed and didn't wake up? Would anybody even care? That's depression. That's like a serious red flag. Go get help. They need to see a doctor. They need to talk to their therapist if they're in therapy. If for family and friends, what you want to look for is someone who all of a sudden isn't answering their phone, has stopped texting as much. If they're on social media, they all of a sudden they're not putting their little blurbs in there like they used to, like the pattern. If someone's had an injury, because pain can contribute to depression, mm-hmm. and people tend to isolate with that, and they'll make excuses. Once they get comfortable in their isolation, they'll say, well, I can't, I'm hurting too bad. And that's, get them some help, because there's pain management out there, you know, see their doc. But just check on those people who all of a sudden have fallen off the grid, because that could be depression. Yeah.
I think, especially the last 5 years, and Jim can attest to this, that, you know, I've floated in and out of that. Would you agree, Jim?
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, but I knew that once I got my body moving,
mm-hmm.
and doing what I normally, once I learned how to walk good, ride my bicycle, you know, could get out of the house, could do, you know, I knew, I felt within myself that I was going to be better, and I was.
Because you had better. A good response to exercise.
Right, I did.
The hard part about depression and getting better is they have to be motivated to seek help or
right.
get the help they need.
Right.
Because if they're laying in that bed and just kind of wallowing in their depression, which, and I don't mean wallowing in a bad way, but I mean just not asking for help, not calling anyone, not making an appointment, the depression gets worse. It doesn't get better. To increase your chemical response, which is the serotonin, the dopamine, the endogenous and endorphin response, you have to get outside. The sunlight is the best source. It's the best source of light for increasing your chemical response. And then, you know, eating well, exercising, mm-hmm. moving. When you're moving your body, the muscle can, it can change the tryptophan, which this is probably too much information, but it can convert the tryptophan chemical to cross the blood-brain barrier, which then increases the serotonergic response in the brain. And then if they're on medication, you know, say they're on antidepressants, the antidepressants can work better because it can grab more of the serotonin that their brain's making.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like you can't get better until you start doing things, and you got to start doing them to get better.
That's right. And it's hard to get started. And Gloria's saying that. So that's so right. And it's definitely hard to get moving.
Yeah.
You know, once you get in the funk, I call it the funk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I've definitely been in it. Jim, you've been in the funk from time to
you
time.
You either need a really good friend that'll kick your tail and get you out of that house, or you have to find it within yourself. I even just kind of bribe my patients. Sometimes I say, you know what? You love your kids, right? And they'll go, yes, I love my kids. I'm like, well, do you want to be a better mother? You want to be a better partner? You want to be a better wife, a better husband, a better, you know, whatever their role is to the people
right,
they love.
Right.
And I kind of have to use guilt to get them to help themselves. Because if sometimes in depression, they don't care anymore. It's
right.
just lack of motivation to even get the help that they need. So you have to kind of find the thing that works for their brain to say, you have to do this. I can't do it for you. You know, I can't fight this battle. You've got to get out the door, put your shoes on. The thing that I would tell most of my patients, because they would, some of them have agoraphobia and they don't even want to leave the house. So if they're not going to walk around, make a path in their house is what I've told some of them. You make a path from your bedroom, down the hall, through the kitchen, around your living room, through the study or whatever your house is laid out. And you walk it, walk, 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 and drink a lot of water and eat right. And eventually go outside. You got to check your mail every day, right? So hopefully your mailbox is not right there on your house, but it's down the road a little bit or down the driveway. Go outside and go to the mailbox. And if you do it once, then the next day you try to go twice. Just go to the mailbox, even if you already checked it, and then walk back to the house again. The next day, add it three times. And by that, you know, no one is born fit. No one is an athlete. Just boom, I'm an athlete. You kind of have to build it, and that can start your walking program. You know, just a little getting back and forth to the mailbox a couple times a day. Then you go down the block, and then you come back, and then, you know, it starts from there.
Gloria says anxiety comes with depression. Now,
yes.
I know sometimes anxiety and depression can be misdiagnosed. I mean, one can be anxiety, not necessarily depression. But you can have both.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, you can have both. And antidepressants, which, you know, I don't want to push meds on. Some people like to do things holistically. But I agree with holistic medicine, but I also agree that psychopharmacology, medicine does help the brain. So in certain situations, I would say you need an antidepressant, depending on what they're telling me. And there's certain criteria that I kind of knock off the list and say, you know what, this is leaning more towards clinical depression, which is your brain chemistry is off, and I need to grab all the serotonin I can get in your brain. So this is what I'm going to put you on. You have to be compliant with the medication. You can't like take it here and there. And especially for people who have anxiety that are on antidepressants, because that's the number one medicine for people who have anxiety is an antidepressant, not Klonopin, not Advan, not Xanax, not alcohol. Like some people want the quick fix. Those
right.
are quick. But they're also addictive. And so then you get into a whole different kind of problem. So, antidepressants is the number one way to go if you're going to be on medication. It does take time to load because we do have a, what's called a blood-brain barrier, and it takes time to get that med across the blood-brain barrier. It can take 4 to 6 weeks, and some people are like, I don't have that kind of time. I want to get better today, tomorrow. Right. And
well, I mean, you know, we want it now.
Yeah.
Our society wants everything
quick
now.
Yes. Instant gratification.
That's right. And
I just have to.
And I'm not a good medicine taker. Mm-hmm. Neither is Jim. Jim's not a good medicine taker either.
But if you need it, see, for you, you found the key for you is exercise.
Absolutely. I have to move that body. I have to move it hard.
And so it works. And you know, part of your love of exercise is you get a good response.
I get a good response. It makes me feel good, mm-hmm. and it
so
gives me more energy.
So
I go back to that. That's correct.
So
that's
if when my clients get on the med, they get it in their system and they start doing well, then they'll take their med. And I just educate them. Because compliance is huge, but compliance with exercise is huge. I mean, anything that's good for you, if you'll do it, it will work.
It will. Ron, I'm going to weigh in on what you said. He says the hardest thing to do is go to the gym and get out of your vehicle. Ron, I'm going to confess to you, and I'm sure I've told this to Jim, but when I started going back to the gym months and months ago, you know, I would drive to the gym and I would sit there, and some days I would get out and some days I wouldn't, and I would just go back home. Mm. So I understand that, Ron, believe it or not. It happened to me. And, you know, I don't do that anymore, but.
You have to have a motive for Ron, this just for him and then for other listeners who also struggle with that. You have to have a motivating factor that's going to get you out of that car.
Right.
And it's got to be important to you. So if it's your heart, like if you have cardiac issues,
right,
you got to put that phone down, stop looking at your, scrolling through your phone and playing in the car, put it down, get your earbuds or whatever it is you listen to go in the gym, get your keys and just get out of the car because you have to take care of your heart. That's number one priority. If it's something about like dealing with pain, because exercise can decrease pain. The more you move, the more limber you get. You can increase your endorphins and decrease your pain. So you've got to have a goal that'll get you out of the car to get you into the gym. So whatever works for Ron, I don't know why he's kind of blocked with that. But if he was my friend, I would call him and I'd be like, hey, get your butt out of the car and get in the gym.
Wendy Jones, mm-hmm. I just happened to think about something here. This is my brain thing, Jim. I'm not sure that I even told Wendy what number. Wendy, if you are watching us by Facebook Live, the number is 229-241-1059. And I've got her number on my phone here, but I don't even know if I told her.
You gave her a card that had the number on it.
I did.
When we were in
the
Orange Park.
Our Fit Talk card, Wendy has the number here at the station. But I think I forgot to send her the number, but she asked me. She might have lost that card. But anyway.
Ask Ron why he doesn't get out of the car. What's his answer?
You need to work your body if your body's going to work for you. Yeah, why did you not get out of the car, Ron?
Yeah, I want to know.
Text us back why you didn't get out of the car.
I'm going to start getting into your brain, Ron.
Oh, she's going to get into your brain. You're getting a psychiatric evaluation here on the air.
I want to know more.
Everybody's going to know who you are, what your problems are, Ron.
We're all friends here.
The good news is you don't have to pay $200 an hour. You're going to get it for free.
You're getting it for free, Ron, right here on Fit Talk and More. You need to sponsor the show, Ron, from now on. You'll get your psychiatric evaluation here. We're just teasing, Ron.
You got to find the primary reason why you're
not. That's the hardest part. I always get out, but that's the hardest part.
Is he playing on his phone? Is he distracted? Why is it hard?
Why is it hard? She said, "Oh, Ron, you know, why is it hard? Are you playing on your phone, or you just don't want to?" For me, at first, I was tired before I even got there. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept sitting in the car.
But you'll get energy if you'll go in.
Yes,
I did. Yes. And you have to bring a lot of water. You have to drink. Some people go in there dehydrated, lack of sleep because they're a little bit depressed, or they've stayed up all night. Because social media, and I'm not down in, you know.
Oh, we know.
But you can't, you got to put it down sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, I mean.
Because it's hard work, Ron says, because it's hard work to go to the gym.
But your body loves it, Ron, and your brain will love it.
Here you go. Here's the suggestion. Pre-workout.
Jim is suggesting that you take drugs, Ron.
Pre-workout.
Pre-workout drugs.
Over-the-counter supplements.
Over-the-counter supplements.
Pre-workout.
Pre-workout.
Maybe just one.
Mix you up an energy drink.
I don't
drink.
Know how old he is. Yeah.
He's older than me. So. Okay.
Yeah, I don't,
not good
I don't
for Ron.
I don't drink the Red Bulls and the Monsters and all that all day long. But I do have one pre-workout. I mix it up myself so I can control the dosage.
Nothing is good for your kidneys. And if you have kidney disease, don't take pre-workout. I don't take it. I have kidney disease. Don't take pre-workout.
Usually it's caffeine or some other stimulant.
Something.
But, and you know, they're all different flavors, whatever. And, you know, it's a powder and you mix it up with water and boom. And but take it, you know.
And it gets your brain going?
I take your brain and your body. You know, it gives you some energy. Okay. Gives you some energy. And I take mine as soon as I get in the car at home. That way, by the time I drive 10 minutes to get to the gym, it's kicked in and I'm ready to go.
I think I messed our caller up. But anyway, maybe she'll call if she can get a hold of this, that she can go to my Facebook Live. But anyway, tell me about, you know, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's bipolar disorder, you know. And I know sometimes you can be bipolar and have depression and have anxiety. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in our crazy brains.
So, okay, which one do you want to know?
Because let's start with bipolar disorder and depression.
There's two types of bipolar. There's bipolar 1 and there's bipolar 2. So everyone who jokes and says, oh, you're bipolar because I get angry. You get angry quickly and your mood switch, all that. That's not bipolar. Okay, that's not bipolar. I think that America, or I don't even know if it's just America, but I think people tag names to diagnoses that, and they don't match. A true bipolar disorder, bipolar 1, is a very hard illness to combat. People are born with a severe chemical imbalance. They can have psychoses where they get paranoid. They can see things that aren't there. They can believe things are happening that aren't happening. They can hear voices. I mean, it can be a horrible existence when they're not on medication. They make impulsive and rash decisions. And these aren't things that happen in a moment. These are things that continue to happen, such as spending a lot of money. I've had clients who are going through divorces because their husbands or wives can't take it because they just can't. If they have money's in their hand, they're spending it. They just can't quit looking at Jim.
She knows better than that. I'm the opposite. I'm the tight one.
You're the saver. You're the saver.
I was afraid he was going to be saying, Maria must be the...
No. Well, it's like with depression, there's a grouping of criteria that you have to kind of talk with your provider about and see if you meet the criteria. But bipolar 1 is a truly
it's a chemical disorder.
Yes. And those are the people who are more likely to suicide because they make if they have a weapon around or if they have a way to hurt themselves, they'll pick up the gun and they'll do it. And they'll do it so quickly, there's nothing. And then in the split second, I've had clients who did it and didn't die. And it's horrible because now their life's a mess. But in the second that they're doing it, they wish they weren't. They wish they wouldn't. But that's how their brain is. And so they need medication for sure. Bipolar 1s need to be on meds or their life becomes a wreck. Bipolar 2, on the other hand, is someone, you can have suicidal ideations. You can have the impulsivity, but it's not, the primary issue is depression. So they kind of stay stuck in a funk. And medication, once again, is the best for that, but also therapy. Therapy because with the way that some people think, they kind of keep themselves stuck in a depression. The negative thoughts, you know, they're always downing themselves, or they self-doubt everything. And so the more you think about something, the more you become something. It's kind of like how you pick your friends. If you pick friends that are very negative, you're going to stay in a negative state of mind. So pick your positive friends. Kind of be super selective about your friend group. But yeah, so bipolar can be two different types. The one that's easier to treat is the bipolar 2, and that's the people who stay more depressed. And so that would be the mood stabilizer kind of medications. So that'd be like Depakote or lithium is really good for people who struggle with suicidality. That one is, that's a very good medication. If you can take it, it does work through the kidneys. It's excreted through the kidneys, so you had to be really careful, especially in South Georgia where it's so hot and we get dehydrated easily. But Depakote's really good. There's other mood stabilizers. But once again, compliance with medication is the way that you're going to stay stable. The biggest thing with bipolar patients, either one or two, that I find, and this is how sometimes I can say, you're bipolar, after we talk a little bit, they don't want you to pull down their mania. So in a bipolar one, you're going to get mania, which is really hard to deal with. But hypomania is just an elevated mood, staying elevated, pressured speech, kind of interrupting people all the time, having trouble sleeping. These two are just doing the eyes at each other. Having trouble turning their
Welcome
brains off.
Welcome to Fit Talk Radio. You may either want to come back again or you may never want to come back again.
But Maria, she doesn't know. When you're looking at me, she doesn't know if it's like, okay.
I'm thinking it's Jim.
She's like, is it, okay, Maria's looking at Jim like he does that. Or yeah. Maria looking at Jim like, oh, I hope it doesn't say anything about Maria.
I keep thinking it's Jim the whole time.
No, it's not.
It's almost always been the other way. And I'm being so good and just keeping my mouth shut.
He's a good husband. You get good husband points.
I was just waiting for him to chime in over there. But you know what I told him today? I said, you better be good today. We better be good because this woman's professional.
I'm reading this room.
I know. I can see that she's reading us. And even Mike's been with us for many years, yep. So he knows.
He has
Jim's being good, isn't he, Mike?
Been on my best behavior.
Yeah, he's not saying a word. He don't want to get psychoanalyzed.
I told him to be quiet today because you were coming.
Yeah. He's being fairly quiet today.
We put him in the corner over there for a reason. Yeah,
Maria doesn't want to get that analysis, that free analysis, you know, here on the radio.
Well, it would take longer than just. But
Mayo Tucker, thank you for joining. Coach Tucker, hey, Coach, you remember Tucker. Me. I was a teenager when Coach Tucker knew me. So I was not bipolar then, was I? Was I, Coach Tucker? I'm being funny. But, you know, we're trying to make light of a situation here because it's serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a serious thing.
Mental health is very serious.
We know friends and family that struggle with addiction and mental health and depression and it's situational.
Asking for help is the first step in getting your life back together. And I'll tell you, if you go and talk to a professional, that's what we do all day long, forever and ever and ever. That's all we do. And we all know each other. I know all the psych professionals in Valdosta and Moultrie because that's what we do. We all just kind of, you know, we deal with the same kind of clients. And so it's not going to phase us. We're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to be shocked by anything anyone says. Believe me, I've probably heard it all. Really.
I'm sure that you have.
And you know, Maria, if we're aware of that many people, you know, that are dealing with this, just imagine how many people that are dealing with it that we don't know because a lot of people will not talk about this.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I suspect it's probably more the men that just will not talk about it. They keep it to themselves.
You know what? They don't in public, but when I'm with them, they'll tell me all kinds of things.
Right. But publicly, they're just very selective about who they tell.
Well, I think it's society. I think that society norms is that men have to buck up and, you know, be strong and no crying and you can't be weak and all this, but I mean, it's okay to ask for help because you can be strong and you can be masculine and you can be a good man and still have depression.
Right.
Stuff is happening to people, even if it's just situational stuff.
Patricia, good to see you on Fit Talk. Thank you for joining us today. The subject is depression, and it's not something that everybody just wants to sit down and talk about.
No,
and
but
you
if
know,
they
but
seek we, help, we're going to. I'm going to talk to them,
right? And that's what they need to do. They need to seek professional. Mm-hmm. So if they think they have depression, or if they think that they might be bipolar, or if they think they need some kind of mental help, I mean,
there are so
and Moultrie
many,
are so many people to help.
You know what? Just look up psychiatric provider in the. Well, we don't have Yelp pages. I don't do social media, so
Google it. Go to the Google pages.
Valdosta Psychiatric Help. And, you know, even if you're seeing a therapist or if you're not, they can always recommend you to a psychiatrist too, because a lot of patients are on medications. And so we have to collaborate. I collaborate with therapists in town and in Moultrie, and I refer people to a lot of therapists, and therapists collaborate with me to get their patients on medications. And you know what? Here's the other thing to kind of reassure your clients. Some people don't need to stay on meds forever. Sometimes you just get them out of that funk. And I tell them this, especially when they're dealing with addiction, their brain is all going to be scrambled and they're going to feel terrible and they're going to act a fool. Like they don't even act like themselves. And I never let it affect me. You just have to let it roll off your back because they're in the worst time of their life trying to get better, whether it be depression, bipolar, whatever it is, addiction. And once they get better, typically they come back and apologize or they say, I've never felt better in my life. And you, if you'll, like we talked about earlier, if they'll stay on that schedule we've got them on, their life goes smoothly. It's when they get off that, they'll miss a med one day. They'll not get up and get a shower one day. They'll start not answering their phone, you know, just a day. And it just snowballs. And then here they go, they're in it again.
You know, that's, and of course, I think once, and we'll back up to addiction a little bit. When you become when you're addicted, and we have dealt with it, Jim and I in our family, I detest drugs and alcohol. I'll just go ahead and say that on the air. That's not the first time I've ever said it, but Jim and I have dealt with it, you know, and it's horrific to just see a person who is talented, smart, beautiful, just be sucked down by an addiction, whether it's to pills or alcohol or some kind of illegal drug. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible to see that happen. But, you know, then once they're addicted and they're not getting any help, then that's going to cause you to be depressed. It would, you know,
and take
you down that rabbit hole. Well, you know,
we get a lot of what's called, we call it, you know, it's dual diagnosis, which is mental health and addiction. That's a primary admission diagnosis is because people come in with suicidal thoughts because they have regret and shame over their relapse. Their family won't talk to them. They've burnt every bridge of support they ever had, and they've wrecked their lives, and they've run through all their finances buying drugs or alcohol. They don't have a roof over their head. They're homeless now. They, you know, they probably got medical issues because of their addiction, and they are at the worst time, and they do want to die. And so that's when we typically get them in the hospital, and we get them better. You've got to recalibrate the brain, and but you have to. Sobriety is huge, and I don't know if you and Jim understand this or if you guys think this way, but you know, addiction is a brain disease. So a lot of people who, if they don't go to Al-Anon, they're not going to kind of know the lingo. But addiction, this could be a whole nother.
This is a whole nother show.
But anyway,
we're just scratching the surface here today. This is a whole nother show. But continue.
I was just going to say, addiction is a brain disease, and you really have to reset your brain to the pre-addiction brain, which you can, but that's the 30 days in detox. And then usually, here's the scary stuff that I always tell my patients, I always tell them the truth, it can take up to 18 months when you're being sober to kind of get your brain reset to the brain before you ever became addicted. Because as someone is addicted, it could be alcoholism, it could be any kind of drug. Now the big thing is meth. It's terrible out there. It's terrible because it increases psychosis and it's just horrible. But with addiction, you try telling an addict, after 30 days, now you may have 17 more months that you got to be sober before we get your brain back to where it's happy again. It can take that long. Because as you're using, every time you're using a drug, it's tanking your dopamine. So dopamine is one of those chemicals that you get from working out. So it's like a great feeling. And if you're healthy and your receptors are healthy, you get a really good feeling. And that's the thing that brought you back to the gym.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I love that dopamine. That's why I work out every day, because I love it. That's my drug of choice.
Yep. And so, but you can get a quick dopamine hit from cocaine, methamphetamine, all these other things. But once they use it, it tanks it, which is that big surge. And then it takes time to rebuild. And in that time to rebuild, they're super depressed. And so they can go, you know, however long it takes. Well, if they use again, it tanks again. But it's never quite to the level it was before. And so every time, and so then what can happen, and this is the worst case scenario, and I have had patients like this, they can get into a place where their brain is not making the right amount of serotonin anymore, and they get pervasively depressed, which is, it doesn't matter what medicine we give them. It doesn't matter. We cannot hit it. We can't hit that serotonin because their brain's not making it anymore.
Gotcha.
They've kind of burnt it out.
Right.
And that's the worst case scenario for an addict, because then they really do want to die.
Mandy Roberts Wales Anderson. Now, Mandy is our family, part of our family.
Mm-hmm.
But she had depression hit her really hard last year, mm-hmm. when they lost their home to a fire. They lost everything that they had.
And their dog.
And their dog, yes. Oof. One of their dogs. And, you know, she went through a depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said that's, she tried to hide it
grief
from
grief, too, though.
She tried to hide it from everybody.
No, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Because you got to talk about it. And here's the thing. With depression and grief combined, it can take 7 years with therapy to start getting, you know, to where you can remember the good things. So like, when I have clients who are, usually it's the mothers that I get, if their child has died, they come in with such bereavement that they don't want to live themselves. And so they may have attempted suicide, or they're mm-hmm. just feeling that way. It can take 7 years of good therapy to get you to a point where you can remember the good parts of having that child. You know, the funny things they said, the happy moments, and there's certain things that we can do. And I'll tell you, one of the therapists in town that really does well with this is Jason Greiner. He does really well with trauma. If she's not seeing a therapist, she should talk to him. But with therapy, you've got to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. There's
right.
certain ways to grieve. There's certain therapies you got to go through. But don't think you're going to just get over it. And if anyone says get over it, then don't talk to them anymore. Because there's no getting over
don't
losing.
Talk to me.
There's no losing.
I just think you get over it. You know, go to the gym, work out, sweat, run, do
that
something.
That part is different. But I'm talking about getting yeah. over the loss yeah. of something, yeah. like an animal. Or, you know, that's probably like her little baby.
Well, that was, I mean, her, you know, they lost everything in their home. Every
yeah.
picture that she had ever taken of her children, you know, everything that
yeah,
was dear to her, you know, and it was very, very traumatic for her, and still probably is. But thank you for sharing that, Mandy, with us. John and Corinne, thank you for joining us tonight here on Fit Talk. Summarize this up tonight as much as we can here. Ms. Webb, for somebody who might be going through this, who hasn't talked to anybody, mm-hmm. what are some steps that they need to take? You know, who should they reach out to? What should they do? How can they find you if they want to talk to you? You seem like you would be very easy to talk to.
Yeah, I love my patients. I pray for my patients.
Well, praise God. I think prayer changes everything. And, of course, Jim and I are Christians, and we love the Lord. And, you know, and this is our passion here. This is our ministry, in part, Fit Talk is. And so we're just trying to bring awareness to people, mm-hmm. for people to understand these things and put them out there so that they can get help.
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing would be to acknowledge that you need help. And so if they're seeing any kind of patterns of their lives have kind of stalled out and they're not as motivated as they used to be, if they will acknowledge to themselves and be self-aware to say, I don't feel like myself anymore. I don't want to get out of the bed. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'd rather just stay in my pajamas. I'd rather not answer the door. If they can acknowledge that, they do need to get help. And whatever county they're in, there is a behavioral health service available. They can reach out to that, and that's usually really for people who have financial issues, that's usually a very easy way to get help that's not going to be expensive. If they're going to seek private psychiatric help, they can, in whatever county they're in or whatever city they're in, they can look, you know, either word of mouth. And if you don't want to see a psychiatrist, because a psychiatrist, typically we put people on psychiatric medications, because as we're doing the assessment, if there is a chemical imbalance, medication is really good for their brain if they'll take it. But some people, it's situational. Like you were saying, like with your, is it Mandy who had the fire? She may have situational depression, and she just needs a really good therapist. And there's certain therapists in certain towns that are really, really good at certain things. So there's like trauma-trained therapists. There's individual therapists. There's marriage and family therapists. There's children, you know, therapists. There's all kind of different specialties. You just kind of have to start calling around and asking who specializes in what in your office.
Gotcha.
And then see if the, you know, the insurance will cover it, or if paying out of pocket, or if you want to go to behavioral health, because behavioral health will do the psychiatric medication. They also do therapy. And so a lot of times it's based on income. So that's always doable. You, basically with that, when you just have to show up, it's, I think they open around 8 in, you know, I worked in Valdosta, I worked in Adel, I worked in Tifton. So the behavioral health there open, I think around 8, you just show up in the lobby and then you make your appointment and get seen. Now, sometimes it can take up to, you know, a month or so to get seen by a psychiatrist, but if you need your meds filled, sometimes you have to go to the ER and get your meds filled real quick. And then having made that psychiatric appointment, word of mouth, your pastor. Pastors are really good. Mm-hmm. If faith is how you're going to get your help, then do it that way. A good friend who's, you know, got your back, ask them what they would do, if they would go with you if you're scared. Some people have a stigma about mental health. I don't, because that's what I do. Right. And, I mean, I would promote it to anyone. I promote it to strangers in line at the store, because I just
that's
think...
That's me in fitness. I just promote it.
I just think everyone would do well with a massage a day and a therapy session a day. I think if I was a politician, that's what I would say. I would give us sidewalks in Valdosta. I've thought about this. I would make sidewalks a mandatory thing. We'd have a bus system to get people around to places, and because I think people isolate too much. Mm-hmm. I think getting them out into the social, you know, even if you, even like you were saying with your exercise stuff for the guy Ron, he can drive, but a lot of people can't. And so they don't really have an outlet, except maybe their neighborhood. But what if it's not a good neighborhood? What if it's not safe? Go to the mall. If we had a system to get to the mall, and then massage, when you massage muscle, even if you just do it on yourself or get your partner to help you or whatever, massaging can increase dopamine and serotonin 30%. If you can get a massage every day, and even a simple one, I'm not talking about go to a massage therapist because that'd be crazy expensive, but just like do your own, you know, start, you know, it's how you do the muscle relaxation. Start from your toes, and you know, you could teach all that on another day.
Yeah,
but just doing that. If you do that once a day for 30 minutes, just the stretching and all that. In a month's time, you will have 30% more serotonin in your brain than the day you started. And more serotonin means less depression.
30 minutes a day, you have to massage me, Jim.
I didn't say that.
I need more serotonin.
You can do it yourself, too.
She didn't say that.
Well, I'm saying.
Oh, you said. Okay.
I'm saying. Oh. So add that to your list of jobs.
All right.
Okay.
I need more serotonin. Uh-huh. I need my massage.
All right.
I'll put that on my list.
Okay. This is the honey-do list.
This is the honey-do
list. The list is growing.
Well, we are, believe it or not, we have run out of time.
Oh.
But how wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. We are so blessed.
And I want to thank Tracy Livingston and Valdosta Health and Wellness for hooking us up with you. And I understand your husband's a big fitness buff. Mm-hmm. We're going to get him on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this might just be, we might be partners in crime here on Fit
Talk. You'll love Mark. Probably half of Valdosta knows him because he's been doing this for 40 years. Yeah, he's a therapist. And so we have a lot of the same clients, and we think the same about mental health. We're big promoters of mental health and talking about stuff. Talk about issues. Talk about your problems. Get some help and get good friends around you who are actively encouraging you to get help or just love you enough to support you through your struggles. That's so important.
I have no struggles with talking, do I, Jim?
Absolutely none.
I have no struggles. If I got a problem, I'm going to talk about it.
Well, he's a good earpiece. He's good to vent to.
He is. He's a good husband. And
I'll either listen or pretend to be listening.
That's exactly what he does.
Typical husband, right?
Pretend to be listening. But thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Webb.
Thank you for having me.
If they want to find you, they can find you where?
I do inpatient. So the only way they're going to find me is if they're coming in for treatment inside the hospital at Turning Point Hospital in Moultrie, Georgia.
Okay.
Or they have addiction issues. So They can call and get an assessment over the phone, actually.
Okay.
Yep.
You can call.
You want me to call, write the number down?
What is the number
that you can call? It's 1-800-342-1075.
Say it again.
1-800-342-1075. And that's right. Turning Point Hospital.
Turning Point Hospital, 1-800-342-1075. And they can call and get an assessment over the phone.
Yep. They sure can.
I'm actually,
and they might talk to me because I do that. That's my other, I do two jobs.
Okay,
so yeah.
Well, I'm going to be giving this number actually to a couple of people that I know, and
it's a wonderful. And I wouldn't work for a place I didn't respect. It is a wonderful hospital. We take really good care of our patients.
I've heard that about Moultrie over there at Turning Point.
It's really, really good.
Well, Jim.
Well,
it's almost a wrap here.
That's right. I want to remind everyone to keep the faith, love your family, and stay fit.
And this is 105.9 WVGA Fit Talk Radio. Bye-bye for now.